Our scripture reading for tonight's lesson is taken from Psalm 127. Psalm 127. A Song of Degrees for Solomon. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman walketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. And as arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Once again, good evening. Honored with your presence, thank you for coming back out and being with us. As we continue our examination, we're climbing, as time permits, on Sunday nights through the beautiful book of poetry that is the collection of Psalms. But before we get to that, I was asked to make an announcement to maybe clear up some confusion. Next week, Brother Billy Henson and Sister Patsy will be here, being the third Sunday. So we will have our Sunday morning class, Sunday morning worship. We'll have a period of fellowship. And then after that, we'll meet approximately 1 o'clock and go ahead and have our evening service then. Then the first Sunday in October is our Fall Gospel meeting with Brother Chris Whitaker. So on that Sunday, which is the 6th, we'll have our class, we'll have our worship, then we'll have a fellowship meal, a gospel meeting fellowship meal. We'll meet back that night at 7. That will take the place of our fellowship meal on the third Sunday for the month of October, because Brother Billy will be speaking at Sugar Tree Knob. They're having a homecoming, and the number homecoming escapes me. I don't exactly remember how many, but I know it's a lot. And so that Billy was asked if he would speak, and so Billy called me and asked if I'd speak for him in his place here so he can go speak there. So we'll just do our third Sunday for the month of October as a regular Sunday, meet here in the morning, then meet back at 5:30. So I hope that clears up some confusion. We like to eat physically. Now let's eat spiritually. How's that sound? As we're examining Psalm 127. And before we get into it, remind ourselves, it's been a while, some background on the Psalms. Each Psalm is self-contained. It does not follow the information in the Psalm before it. It does not lead you into the Psalm that comes after it. Written in Hebrew, it's poetry. A hallmark of Hebrew poetry is a repetition of phrases or terms or ideas or thoughts. And they'll say it, and they'll make the statement, and they'll come back and they'll say it again, and they'll take that statement just a little bit further, almost as if they're making a bridge every time the author is doing that. Now, there are two psalms, as I was alluding to at the beginning of our lesson this morning and teasing this one tonight. There are two psalms that the title says, A Song of Degrees, or A Psalm for Solomon. Now, for may also be translated of. So it's either written by Solomon himself, or it's written to Solomon from David. But here's how you remember them. They're a palindrome, something that is spelled the same way forwards and backwards. Psalm 72 and Psalm 127. So if you read those numbers numerically, and forward, it's 72127. And if you read them backwards, it's 72127. You see, that's how I remember the Psalms that are for Solomon. This one tonight, you could really take the title from the first 5 or 6 words, except the Lord build the house. Now, when we come across the word except in the Bible, it literally means if and only if. So, for instance, when Nicodemus, the ruler of the Jews, comes to Jesus by night, John chapter 3, and Jesus says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Literally, Jesus is saying, if and only if a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. When Jesus is giving the hallmark passage on marriage, divorce, and remarriage in Matthew chapter 19 and verse 9, he says, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, he commits adultery. Jesus literally says, whoever shall put away his wife, if and only if for fornication, that's the only way we could do it, and marries another, then he commits adultery. When Jesus says in Luke chapter 13, verse 3, also verse 5, except ye repent, ye shall likewise perish. He literally says, if and only if ye repent. If you don't, you will likewise perish. Here, the psalmist says, except the Lord build it. If and only if God builds this house. Now he says, then they labor in vain. They'll do vain first and come back for labor, because our title says A Song of Degrees for Solomon. So we could think of it as a psalm of David to his son. Now Solomon learned a lot about vanity. Vain, vanity, same thought. In fact, he wrote an entire book about vanity, the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes 1 verse 2, he says, vanity of vanities, says the preacher. Vanity of vanities, he says, all is vanity. He spends 12 chapters and Solomon says, I've been there, I've done that, I've had everything. He says, unless you have God, it's all vanity. It's all empty. It's all worthless. Now he tried to build his life without the Lord. That's what Solomon tried to do. And the world would have said that Solomon was a great success. He had riches, power, wisdom, pleasure. But he looked at his life, and at the end, in Ecclesiastes 2 and verse 16, he says, and how dieth the wise man as the fool? They both die. Regardless of the knowledge, the wisdom that you have, he could have said, how dies the rich? Or how dies the pauper? How dies the weak? It's the same thought there. He analyzes his life. And Ecclesiastes 12, 14, we know that God will bring every action into the judgment, whether it's good or evil. So his conclusion, one verse before, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep his commandments. This is the whole duty of man. This is man's job. Fear God and keep his commandments. So here when David says to Solomon, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Solomon knows exactly what it is when he talks about being in vain. But think about labor. Labor is hard. It's wearisome work. Verse 2, he says, it is in vain for you to rise up early and to sit up late and to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. It doesn't matter how fervently you do it, how long you do it, how good you are at doing it. If you're laboring for the wrong thing, it's still wrong. There are people in the world today who work for companies and work for ideas and work for themselves, and they're working for bad things. Things that are contrary to the Word of God, and they may be the best at that job. But they're still doing it wrong because it's a wrong job. It's a wrong occupation. Think about what Paul tells those in Corinth as he closes the 15th chapter. Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know, your labor is not in vain. And in that prepositional phrase, in the Lord. Paul doesn't say, labor out there in something against the Lord and be successful. No, 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, if you labor in the Lord, it's not in vain. Be steadfast. Here the psalmist says, except they build the house of the Lord, then they labor in vain. Now what is a house, or what is the house? Could this have been the temple? Very well could have been. If you remember, David wanted to build God a temple. But the Lord said, you're a man of war. I can't have you building my temple. I know you want to, but I can't have you doing it. And so David's son, which is Solomon, would be the one to build the temple. And after Solomon built it the way the Lord wanted to, and Solomon had offered all these sacrifices in 2 Chronicles 7, verse 1, the Bible tells us the glory of the Lord filled the house. Now the question is, what if David had built the temple? What if David had told the prophet, I know what you say. I heard and I know you told me God doesn't want me to build the temple, but I feel deep down in my heart of hearts that I should build the temple, and so I'm going to do it my own way. And what if David had done that? Would the glory of the Lord fill the temple? No, he would have labored in vain. Would he have built a nice building? I guarantee it. It probably would have been a building like no other. But he would have been laboring in vain. So what is the house? Now we ask the question, what about the church? Church, in one sense, is the house of God. Jesus said, Matthew 16, verse 18, he says, I will build my church. Literally, he said, I will build the church of me. I know it sounds weird in English, but that's literally the way that he would have said it in the Aramaic tongue in which he was speaking. Christ wants his church to be a glorious church, as Paul tells those at Ephesus. It is a glorious church. And there are many people in the world who have not been satisfied with the church of Christ. And they want to add something. They want to take something away. But it's Christ's church. Jesus said, it's the church of me. And since it is his church, he gets to dictate what it looks like, what it does, and how it acts. Because it is his church. Put your hand there in Psalms. Let's go over quickly to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And examine verses 9 through 16. 1 Corinthians 3, 9 through 16. And as we begin in verse 9, I want you to note as we see that word ye, Y-E, it is in the plural form. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. And if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye not that ye, once again plural, are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you, in literally means among you. What's Paul saying? We're all part of the building of God. We are all part of his church. If anybody tells you that the church doesn't matter, go whichever church you want to, then go back and look at that last phrase of verse 10. Let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. It's not our liberty to change. Jesus Christ gave his life for the church. Except the Lord build the house. Except the Lord build the church. What about the city? As we think about a city, as we go back to our Psalm. Psalm 127, he says, except the Lord keep the city. I think about Babylon. Old Testament Babylon was a great walled city. Many people lived there. They felt safe. They felt secure. But while the king is having a feast, you know the story in Daniel chapter 5, all of a sudden there appears as if it is a man's hand, and he starts writing on the wall, Mene, Mene, Tekel, Ekspirin, which means that God has numbered your days. You've been weighed in the balance and found wanting, and the kingdom is divided. That's what the handwriting on the wall said. And that night, the river was diverted. The Medes marched under the wall, and they took the city. Babylon, a great walled city, but it wasn't built by God. Think about Nineveh. It was a great walled city. The Assyrians, not Nineveh when Jonah was in Nineveh, but later Nineveh when Nahum writes about it. In Nahum 1, 7 and 8, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. And he knoweth them that trust in him, but with an overrunning flood he will take an utter end, the place thereof, and darkness shall pursue his enemies. Once again there, the river flooded, it washed out the wall, and the enemy just marched right into the city. Nineveh thought they were safe. Jericho thought they were safe, did they not? They had a great walled city, they're up on a hill, actually two sets of walls from what archaeologists have told us. And then all of a sudden you see these Israelites and they march around the wall on the first day one time and don't say anything. Day 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6 one time. The last time they march 7 times. Then they shout with a loud shout. The priests blow the trumpets and we know the story. The walls fall down. The Lord gives that city to Joshua. Think about our own nation. We lived in a, if you want to think about it, a walled nation, spiritually speaking. I'm reminded of Proverbs 14:34. The Bible says, righteousness exalted the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. I'm not talking about getting your politics right. I'm talking about getting your heart right with God. That's the important part. If our riches and our might, if we focus in that, we forget God. And later, Proverbs 16:18, pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. We need to get our hearts right Because when our heart's right, we worship God in the right way. We live the life we ought to, both for God and for our government. Then we think about the home while we're on it. We need to build our homes on the teachings of God. No greater foundation for a home can be except it is the Word of God. And if you're not building it on the Word of God, you're building your home in vain. I don't care how good your home looks. If it's not built on the Word of God, it is empty. You cannot ignore God and go your own way and expect the Lord to treat you nicely. Expect everything just miraculously work out in the end. Except, go back to verse 1, the Lord build the house. Now verse 3. He says, "Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of His womb is His reward." Not a curse of the home. He says, children are the blessings of it. They're the reward. They're the heritage. It's our responsibility to raise up children in the nurture and in the admonition of the Lord to keep that faithfulness going. And that also ties into verse 4. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Now he's making a comparison to a warrior. And a warrior wants to have a lot of arrows so he can go out and fight a battle and be successful. He's going to continue that into the 5th verse. He says, so likewise it is with children. A lot of children. If an archer has a lot of arrows, he can always aim them where he wills, and he wants them to go, and the archer knows how to get an arrow to hit the middle of the bullseye every time. Only a short time, though. He has to aim well so he doesn't miss the mark. So bring up the children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord while you have the time, while you can imprint upon them the Word of God. And then verse 5, he talks about that quiver. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Now, he's not always talking about a man that literally has a lot of arrows, although that is beneficial, especially if you're going into war. He's talking about raising children. One of the biggest jobs one person ever has. Why is David writing this? Because David is writing to his child. He's writing to Solomon, one of his offspring. And Solomon is going to have a child. And Solomon's going to write the book of Proverbs to his child. And we see that speaking with enemies of the gate there in that last phrase. Great strength comes with raising children in the Lord. Imagine an old man who is sitting in the gate. He may be physically weak. The enemy comes up. He's physically outnumbered. There may be a large enemy there. But you don't dare mess with him. Because the moment you set foot on his property, all his family, as lots of family comes out, and they start defending him. Because he has taught them to do what is right. You know, we sing a song at VBS and other times, the wise man built his house upon the rock. We sing about the wise man and his house stood firm. We sing about the foolish man, his house went splat and everybody slaps their hands. It's a big loud noise. But then the last verse, so build your house on the Lord Jesus Christ. We teach that to little kids because it's a great song, gets them involved, there's hand motions, but it's even better that it teaches a biblical practice. We need to build our houses on the Lord Jesus Christ, not our physical house, but our house that is our life. So guess what? Go back to verse 1. Except, if and only if, you build your house on the Lord. If you don't do that, then your labor's in vain. You may have had a successful life, but if you don't die faithful to the Lord, it hasn't been a successful life in the eyes of God. That's what Solomon is being told by David here in Psalm 127, and it's a lesson that we can learn for us today. My question for you is, what foundation are you building upon? Are you building on that good ground? Are you building your house upon the rock? Are you building it on the sand? Maybe you've never built your house. Maybe you've never started your life as a Christian tonight. And I can think of no better time to do that than now. You do that through hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, being baptized. Sins are washed away. Come out of that water grave, a new creature alive in Christ. If you've not done that this evening, why not do so? We have everything's prepared. We're just waiting on you. If you have done that, keep going. Keep building your house of the Lord Jesus Christ. If sin is into your life, you need to repent of that. Come back before it is too late. If we can help you in any way at all, please let it be known while we stand and while we sing.